everybody.
Good morning, Kia.
Welcome to Wings Adult Discussion Sunday School Meeting for January the 15th. Clyde, would you start us in a word of prayer?
Precious Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name, to call on your name, and to believe in you. So, Father, we just ask that you have your way in class this morning. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and lead us into all truth. And, Father, we ask for an awakening in our souls for the body of Christ. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I was thinking about this morning, I kind of read over 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It's a short chapter, and we'll probably read through the whole thing. But it got me thinking about the Corinthians, and I started to look back at the introduction to the Corinthians, and Corinth was supposed to be some great big elite city, far ahead of its time, like the New York City of old. It says in here that Paul was living in Ephesus when he wrote this letter to the Corinthians. And he wrote the letter to the Corinthians because they wrote to him asking him all these questions. Mm-hmm. And some translations make it very clear when he talks to them about if you can marry or should you marry or, you know, this and that and all this, that these are things he's bringing up in answer to questions that they posed to him. And I thought to myself, you know, these people in Corinth, for as cosmopolitan as they were very, I guess I should judge it, but I'm gonna anyway. I think they were very fleshly, you know. What should I eat? What should I drink? Can I get married? You know, they were a lot about their body, you know, and they were very physical in their interpretation of the spirit of salvation and, you know, what it means to be a Christian in those days. Now, Paul was living, I thought to myself, I was thinking to myself, you know, Paul probably got this letter in prison, and he was sitting there, you know, getting beaten every other day, and here's these people calling and saying, well, can I get married, or what can I eat, what can I, and, but he wasn't. I thought that would have been a nice little thing for God to put on there, you know, that I could bring that up, and I'd sound very, very cool, but he wasn't. He was living in Ephesus at the time, and I looked back at Revelation because there was a chapter to the Ephesians, and it said, and the Lord told John, write this letter, this message, told to the messenger of the congregation at Ephesus. For these are the words of the one who holds the seven stars firmly in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Now this is where Paul was living. He says, I know all that you've done for me. You've worked hard and persevered. I know that you don't tolerate evil. You have tested those who claimed to be apostles and proved that they are not, for they were imposters. And that kind of goes on and on. And it showed me that where Paul was living, it seems to me, I could be wrong. I was wrong once before. And it seems to me that these were a little bit more mature Christians than the Christians that were in Corinth at the time. So it made me understand how loving Paul was to, you know, bring himself down onto their level to answer all these questions, you know. Can I eat three horned animals? Can I eat animals that, you know what I mean? They're all about, you know, can I have a pizza? You know, can I eat meat on Friday? All kinds of things that really had nothing to do with anything spiritual. But so anyway, that's where my mind was as I was reading 1 Corinthians 8. So does anybody yet, did anybody bring the Amplified so you guys could read it in the Amplified?
I can read it out of, I pulled it up. If you
yeah, just read it out. Go ahead and read it out of the King James.
You have it, Clyde?
Anything that
no,
you want.
No, nice, no.
Okay. You want me to read the whole thing?
Well, yeah, if you
okay,
just
starting
go, yeah.
From the
it
beginning.
Doesn't seem
okay.
Like it went very long.
All right, just a minute. Now food, wait a minute, let me see. First verse. I need to go down to the first verse, I'm sorry. Now about food sacrifice to idols. We know that we have knowledge concerning this. Knowledge alone makes people self-righteously arrogant, but love that unselfishly seeks the best for others builds up and encourages others to grow in wisdom. If anyone imagines that he knows and understands anything of divine matters without love, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God with an awe-filled reverence, obedience, and gratitude, he is known by him as his very own and is greatly loved. In this matter, then, of eating food offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, it has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, who is the source of all things. We exist for him and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we are all things that have been created, and we believers exist and have life and have been redeemed through him. However, not all believers have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed throughout their lives to think of the idols until now as real and living, still eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, because their conscience is weak. It is defiled, guilty, and ashamed. Now food will not condemn us to God, nor bring us close to him. We are no worse off if we do not eat, or we better off if we do eat. Only be careful that this liberty of yours, this power to choose, does not somehow become a stumbling block that is a temptation to sin to the weak in conscience. For if someone sees you, a person having knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, then if he is weak, will he not be encouraged to eat things sacrificed to idols and violate his own convictions? For through your knowledge, spiritual maturity, this weak man is ruined, that he suffers in his spiritual life the brother for whom Christ died. And when you sin against a brother and sister in this way and wound their weak conscience by confusing them, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if my eating a certain food causes my brother to stumble, sin, I will not eat such a meat ever again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. That's it.
One thing that I like in here, I saw, let's see, in the Mirror Bible, in verse 8, it says, your diet preference certainly does not improve your standing before God, whether you eat meat or not. There was another one here that I really loved. In 6, I thought it made a really good reference to God and Jesus. This thing about lording it over people does not make them, there's a lot of talk about other gods and demonic powers operating on earth as well as in the heavenly realm. Obviously, they seem to be empowered by people's belief in them, conversation about them. So there seems to be many gods lording over people. This does not make them competition to God. We know that there is only one God, the Father, who is the creator of all things, and for whom, and this is God the Father, for whom we live. And there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created, and through whom we live and move and have our being. All things exist because of him. We owe our very being to him. He alone gives us context and reference to our lives. That's what Jesus does. He holds us in being. We were created for God and through Christ. I thought that was an interesting difference. Now it's time for all you to talk.
Well, I was going to say that I think basically it sets up not to be offensive for your brother or sister, mm-hmm. not to be a stumbling block in front of them.
Right.
I mean, probably would be a stumbling block for me if I drank beer in front of Chuck.
So,
you know, that's the very reason I don't drink it.
Well, you know, just what you're saying there, Clyde, when I used to teach the adult Sunday school class years ago, I had one of the young ladies and they used to come into class. I don't know if she brought this up more than 10 times, but it was pretty many times. You know, I don't exaggerate, but it was a lot of times she actually brought this up. And she would always ask the question about drinking alcohol, like what Clyde said. And I said to her, I said, well, you know, I said, you know, Paul said, take a little wine for your stomach's sake, you know, and there's nothing wrong with drinking something if it's done in moderation, you know, in anything. I don't care what it is. I mean, you know, I'd probably drink way too much pop, you know, or soda pop, and you know, but I don't actually drink it in moderation. I drink it, you know, with every meal usually and stuff. But anyway, what she kept saying is, you know, what about that? And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, the people that you're running around with, are they Christians? And she said, well, basically she said, no, you know. And I said, they know that you're a Christian, right? She said, yeah. And I said, do you think that by drinking with them, you're going to hurt your testimony to them, you know? And I'll tell you, I had a brother that worked with me one time, and he came to me and he said, Oscar, and he was a brother in the Lord, you know, he said, Oscar, he said, the guys over in my department invited me to go down to the bar with them after work and drink. And he says, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I said, that's up to you. I said, I wasn't gonna judge him one way or the other. But I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you think it will in any way hurt your testimony to them about the Lord if you go down there and drink a lot with them? You know, and I knew some of those guys were alcoholics, so I know them very well. And, you know, he didn't really answer. And I won't be offended. He said, will you be offended? I said, no, I won't be offended. I said, but I'm not saying some of them might not be offended. You know, and I said, it might destroy your testimony to them, maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's something that, like what you said, Clive. And what Paul basically said in other places, he said, if me eating meat will offend my brother, then I'll eat no meat. If you're going to walk in love, will you not do something that you know is purposely going to hurt somebody else's potential walk with the Lord? Well, that's where we need to ask ourselves, you know, is this going to hurt my brother in any way, even though they don't know my brother? You know what I'm saying? So that's basically what I said to him. And I basically said the same thing to the young lady. And, you know, this young lady, I think, was going out with her friends, and they was getting pretty looped up, you know what I mean? And she was a Christian. And, I mean, I just basically said, you know, hey,
If it's going to destroy your witness to them, then I would advise you not to do it, but that's up to you. You know, you have to do what you feel like is, you know, I said, you're not going to offend me. I mean, I know we're saved by grace, and I know that we all fall short of the glory of God even after we're saved by grace sometimes. We all say and do things that we shouldn't say and do, you know, at times. But thank God for that amazing grace that we have in the Lord. But there again, are we going to walk in wisdom, or are we going to walk in maturity? And I think if you walk in real maturity, you're not going to want to do things that has the potential of ruining your testimony to your brothers and your sisters. And even though you know you have the liberty that you could do that, you know.
Here in the King James, it says, the head of that chapter says, take care with your liberty.
That's good. Yeah, mine don't say that, but yeah. That's good.
Yes.
And you know, and it's you know, it's really a personal thing that you have to decide. Each person, you know, has to decide. You know, and
well, talk about a little bit about the perfect law of liberty.
Well,
what it is.
Yeah, the Lord dealt with me years ago in James. You know, I was reading through James, and I felt like He dealt with me about the perfect law of liberty. And I basically said, "Well, Lord, what is the perfect law of liberty?" And I felt like He told me submission. Now, in the natural, that's not the perfect law of the natural liberty, submitting. You know, that's actually falling underneath something else. You know what I mean? Submitting to something. But in Christ, submission brings liberty, because when you submit to Him, then what ends up happening, His power empowers you, and His presence surrounds you in situations. You know, and you know, the perfect law of liberty in Christ is submission. You know that song, "I Surrender All." You know, that's a great song. And you know, Pat used to tell me when Pat went to the other side, I talked to her a couple of times, and she would tell me about, you know, that song just always kept coming to her, "I Surrender All, I Surrender All." You know, and I said, "Well, Pat," I said, If you listen to the words of that song, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give," you know, and by freely giving to Him, what He does is He freely gives back to you way more than what you gave to Him. You know what I mean? And that's really the law of love, because even in when people get married, how is their wedding consummated? It's consummated by two people surrendering to each other in an act of love. You know, that's what consummates the marriage. You know, and you know, that's pretty much the law of liberty is the Lord showed me is submission, us submitting to Him and to one another to a certain extent. You know, as long as it's not a total compromise of God's principles. You know, and you know. But,
nevertheless, even Jesus, He submitted the maximum. Mm-hmm. You know, He said, "Father, okay, if it be Your will, let this thing pass," because mm-hmm. I think He knew what was coming. But He said, "Nevertheless, Thy will, not mine, be done."
And see, that would, you know, a lot of times people say, well, was Jesus' will ever opposed to the Father's will? Yes, it was. His natural will, His natural, as being a natural man, but His spiritual man overpowered the natural man. Because when He said, you know, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." So, you know, and we know He had the Spirit without measure. He had it in the fullness. And Scripture tells us that we have it in part at this point. That's because we haven't come to the full realization of Christ in us, what that really means. We're still,
but this is a day.
We're still moving into that. We're coming to that total knowledge, you know.
I think that, I mean, I know people have a problem with this. I believe that when Mary went to her son Jesus and said that they were out of wine,
mm-hmm.
and And basically, I think he said, well, what has that to do with me? Uh-huh. And, well, when he did that, it wasn't that he was challenging her. I think he was waiting on God to tell him what to do. Because, you know, because didn't she, on the next verse, say, do whatever he says to do?
Yeah.
And he told him to fill it up with water, right?
He submitted to his mother.
Right. And, I mean, he yielded to her.
Yeah.
And I still believe that was probably, because the Bible says it was, the most potent wine, the best wine there was, way before whatever they drank, the last drop of, was a lot better than that. I mean, you know.
Well,
I
got a story for you, too. One time, Josh, when, you know, Josh had some free tickets for a show, you know, and he used to get them, I don't know, I guess because people would come in the store or whatever it was and give them to him or whatever. I don't know how he got them. But he had all these free tickets. And he called up a bunch of the people from church and he said, you know, I got some free tickets to see this particular movie. He says, you know, you guys want to go? And I thought, well, you know, and I mean, you know, sometimes even if you're not sure what it is, you go, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I mean, he offered free tickets and there was a bunch of us went. So this movie was a little off color. You know,
a little.
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends on, you know, how it affects
what
you.
Was it?
It really did not affect me in the sense that when somebody says something off color, I don't get offended, you know, that easy. I mean, you know, because I know people are just people and they do stuff like that. But anyway, this movie was kind of a little off color with the things that were said and done. So we come out of the movie and we're walking down the hall. And I had told Margaret when we were sitting there, I reached over and I thought, I said, should we get up and leave? Yeah. I said, I don't want to offend Josh that we walked out on this movie. I said, but I wasn't exactly sure what I should do there, whether we should get up and leave or go ahead and sit there and watch the rest of the movie, the movie didn't affect me any. I mean, in the sense that it was off color, and I mean, I hear stuff like that all the time at work, or you know, you're working somewhere or out in the world, you hear that stuff all the time. But anyway, here's what happened. So we walk out, and some young lady said, oh, I can't believe my pastor was in there watching this movie. You know, she was trying to offend me. Now, I could have said, well, I don't believe a Sunday school, a youth group person, you know, she was trying to help a youth group leader was in there watching that movie, you know. But I didn't say anything. And I told Margaret, I said, now, what was she trying to do? Was she trying to, she was trying to embarrass me, is what she was trying to do. And she didn't really embarrass me because I thought, that, you know, when the pot's been in the fire and you take it out of the fire and the kettle's in the fire, guess what? Does the pot call the kettle black? You know, you're sitting there yourself. You know, you're a Christian, you know. But that did not offend me, that movie. I mean, I didn't like the movie because it got a little bit too off color, you know. I didn't like it. But, you know. I mean, what was she trying to accomplish there? You know, this is the same one that was always asking me about drinking, say, you know. Well, I didn't know what the movie was when I was invited to go. I don't think any of us really knew what it was, you know. And you were there at that movie, I think.
The Sweetest Thing was the name of it, and that doesn't sound like it's going to be bad.
No, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a bad movie. That was the name of the movie, The Sweetest Thing, yeah. Yeah.
That sounds cute.
I wasn't going to give any advertisement to it.
Don't watch it.
No, but I mean, you know, I mean, things like that have no effect on me that much. If I see a movie that's off color or that has a scene in it or something, that doesn't really affect me that much. I don't get all in horror or anything because that's just the way the world is, you know. And until they come to the knowledge of the Lord, that ain't going to change. And me heaping condemnation on them is not going to change anything.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I don't know who the person was, but she didn't mean to offend you.
No, I would say the same thing.
She didn't mean it.
No.
Who meant it? Same person with Joseph. God meant it for good. Yeah. She did mean it.
She meant it for evil.
He meant it for good.
She did.
So, yeah, you know what? Have you ever accepted something that you wouldn't accept it before just because of that?
Well,
because we hear a guy go like it. Well, they did mean it for evil. I meant for good.
Let me tell you another little story just to go along with this. This particular person wanted me to let them speak at church. A couple different times they kind of hinted at
that. Now I know the person.
Now, that particular person came to my house one time and told me, if you knew what my brother was, where my brother was last night and what he was doing, you would never let him get in the pulpit. And I told her, I said, well, you know, I said, there is none of us who are worthy on our own
to be there,
to get in the pulpit.
That's right.
No time. None of us. None of us are good enough to get up there or nothing else. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. And that right there sealed the fact that I never let her get in the pulpit. And the reason was, is because she was not mature enough to be getting in the pulpit when she wasn't willing to cover her brother's nakedness rather than trying to expose it. And it was out of jealousy. And I was told this person was jealous because, to be honest with you, because Mark and her brother and so on and so forth was getting to speak, you know, and that's what it was. And I'm not trying to tell you what, but if you got any, you'll know who it is. But the thing about it is that this has nothing to do with jealousy. It has nothing to do with you being a good orator. I'm a terrible orator sometimes. I murder English a lot. I know I do. I've had people say to me that have listened to some of my sermons, I've had people say to me, well, you say that there a lot, and you say certain words a lot, and you repeat them when you're talking. It's just the way I talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't come to you with excellency of speech. I'm not no English scholar. I don't claim to be an English scholar. You know, I murder English probably a big part of the time. But isn't it funny that over the years, the Lord has used me to tell you the definition of Greek and Hebrew words and things like that. And I've had people, like even had Brother Eddie one time say to me, Oscar, how do you know the things that you know? I said, Brother Eddie, it's not because of me. It's because the Lord inspires me to check into these things, and He opens the door and He puts stuff there for me to find it. You know, I'm not no super intelligent person or anything like that. And this thing, it has nothing to do with that. He chose the foolish to confound the wise. He chose the weak to bring to naught the strong. And I'm telling you what, If Paul even said, he says, where are the wise? Well, you know where the wise are? The wise are the ones that are all puffed up with the knowledge that they've obtained on their own, and they're all puffed up.
And they're sitting up there on that hill judging all of us.
And judging everybody else. You're absolutely right. And they're heaping condemnation on everybody. I'm going to tell you what, I ain't going to heap no condemnation on nobody, because I know that I fall short of the glory of God a lot. And it's because of His glory. He imparts His righteousness. I'm not righteous. He's righteous, and He imparts His righteousness by what He did on Calvary. And when you understand that, you start losing the ability to condemn other people and to judge other people, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, if you are the kind of person that judges other things real harshly, God will bring it back to you. It'll come back. I mean, and I'm not saying that He won't forgive you, but I'm saying He'll bring it back to you and show you graphically that you're doing exactly the same thing that you're accusing everybody else of doing, you know, kind of thing. But that was just an example of that. I mean, you know, when that person came to me and said that, I thought, oh my God, that is not, you know, not that come to me and say, you know, God's been dealing with me about something and I'd really like to share it, brother. That would have opened the door right there to let them speak.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come and are putting a brother down and carrying on about their brother, and I don't know, I'm kind of jealous of these guys, you know, and that word jealous pops up a lot in situations where people are not in exactly the right place they need to be. Jealousy is an ugly thing. It's not a good thing, you know. But
I think the 8th chapter also tells us where basically it's a real good chapter to say that Paul learned to be all things to all people.
Yeah.
And
right.
To ascend and descend whatever level they were at. And I think, as you were quoting a while ago, the other one is, yeah, they could do that, and he could be in a place of that. And he probably was already there.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew that for these people to be fed, he had to be like he was. Well, anyway.
Well, he basically knew that he could eat or drink basically anything. He said, but if somebody calls it to your attention that it's sacrificed to an idol, then don't do it. You know, because you're gonna bring offense to them, to, you know, and that's when, you know, remember what happened to Peter when he was told to go to can't think of his name right now, he was the centurion or whoever it was. He was Peter said, well, I can't go to him. You know, he basically, Peter was up on the roof, and God let down a sheet and showed him all of these unclean animals that, according to Jewish custom, were unclean. And God told him, rise, kill, and eat, Peter. Peter said, not so, Lord. Think of that. God tells you, rise, kill, and eat, and you say, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean or never done this or never done that. And what did he say to him? What I've cleansed, don't call it unclean.
Right.
And he sent him to Cornelius, that's who it was. He sent him to Cornelius's house. And Cornelius was like an Italian or something. He was from some other country or something. And he went, Peter went, and guess what? Cornelius's family got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of his household.
Not so, Lord.
Yeah, not so, Lord.
I wanted to read just three verses out of the Living Bible. It says, next is your question. This is at the beginning of 8. It says, next is your question about eating food that has been sacrificed to idols. On this question, everyone feels that only his answer is the right one. But although being a know-it-all makes us feel important, what is really needed is to build the church in love. And you will find out the consistency of Paul's whole ministry was to build the church in love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If anyone thinks he knows all the answers, he is just showing his ignorance. But the person who truly loves God is the one who is open to God's knowledge. You know,
see, there's only really one answer to anything, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the answer. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, he's all of it. It's all rolled up in him, and we're complete in him from what the scripture says, mm-hmm. You know. But as much as we're in him, that's how complete we are, you know.
Well, you said the key was what you said earlier, is that Paul was able to speak to them at whatever level they were.
Right.
You know, because that's the key to anything.
Right.
Because everybody's not on the same page.
Right.
You know, you can read the Bible back and forth 100 times, and I would be at a different place than you are.
Well, I would also, if I did that 100 times, we'd probably get 100 different answers.
And that's what I'm saying.
I mean, if you're going to be pliable, I think that's the whole thing. If we're not, that's a bad word. If we're not, if we're not flexible with God's word, that's why some people, and I know a lot of these people, King James only. You can't go out of another one.
Yeah.
And the way God has dealt with me about that is, you go where I tell you to go, and you'll receive what I want you to receive in the area that you can receive it. Now that, to me, is the same thing that Paul did, like you were saying, about breaking it down, being all things to all men. Well, that's what actually God's word does to you. What I've seen it in the flesh do is set people free. Can you look in the mirror and know that what God's word does, he does for you, and he's already done it, and he set you free? I mean, where you used to be bound by a bunch of stuff, you're not bound by that no more.
Right.
Why? Because you're better? No. Because the Spirit of God dwells within you. And what's it say? It shall quicken your mortal bodies if that Spirit dwells in you. Isn't that what it said? Well, anyway, what we need to know is we're on God's timetable. I think a lot of times we'll get into something, and mostly what we get into is things that we don't understand. We won't understand it, and we might even take a poll. Well, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? We might even go to the phone. I heard that you can go and ask it questions, and apparently it's got the answer, some of it. But the whole thing is, what's the Bible point for you, tell you to go to? I'm pretty sure it tells you to go to his word. Get in, study, show thyself approved. He goes like this, if anyone lacks understanding, let him ask of God. They need knowledge, let them ask of God. Now those are two things, in doing that, will prepare us for whatever's going to happen. What's the old saying is, we don't know about tomorrow, we only know who holds it.
You know what Mike was saying about, you know, reading that same scripture at different times, a bunch of people reading it. God gives you the answer that you need today.
Right.
You know, and the thing about it is, the answer you need today will not be different than the answer you need tomorrow, but what he'll do is he'll build upon the answer he gave you today, and he'll give you a bit greater insight into it, and it will elevate.
Yeah.
And get bigger. You know, from the time when I first got saved, the Lord hasn't given me a different message. I've not had to go back and apologize for anything that he showed me 40 years ago. I've not had to go back and say, oh, well, I was wrong about this and I was wrong about that. Because you know what? I looked to him. You know, I used to sit before him and say, Lord, you got to teach me. You got to lead me. You got to guide me. You know, the message I'm going to share with you this morning, I didn't know what I was going to share today. I told Margaret, I said, I don't know what I'm going to share today. And I was looking at some other things yesterday, and it's an entirely different message that the Lord gave me this morning. Entirely different from what I was looking at.
That's the beauty of the thing about you
waiting on him and let the, like I've told you before, and you quoted this before when I've said it, let the teacher wait on the teaching. Let the preacher wait on the preaching. And whatever God inspires you, that's what you need to speak and say.
The most inspirational thing I've ever seen didn't happen. We were down the mission. It's no lie.
Yeah.
The Lord had not... Oscar was speaking.
Yeah.
He was supposedly to be the speaker, okay?
Yeah.
He said that he'd been waiting on God all day, and he never did give him anything. Well, God knows what's needed and what's not.
Right.
The guy, I think it was Carl. Was it Carl?
Carl came back here.
Carl came in. He said, well, this never happened before. He said, what? There's nobody out here. There's nobody here.
And that place was packed, you said.
Yeah. Well, and see, the thing is that I would always wait on the Lord. And I spoke a lot of times, and I taught Sunday school a lot of times. And I mean, I had a drawer full of notes. And I've got gobs of notes now, and I've actually had some of them get wet in the thing, and I still got gobs of notes. You know what I mean? But it's one of those situations where I kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and the Lord didn't give me anything. And I went over to the drawer, and I opened the drawer, and I thought, well, I got to get something here just in case, you know. And I stuck something in my Bible, and I got down there, and we went in the back room, we prayed. I felt anointing as we prayed, you know, and. Then Carl comes back here and he says, this has never happened before. There's nobody out there. And did I feel that let down or no? Because first of all, what I did was I had been asked to speak by somebody else. I had honored what they said, and I had went, and I had went even knowing that I didn't really have anything, you know. Mm-hmm. And would I have pulled that out of my Bible? I don't know if I would have or not. But I might have just said whatever the Lord had me say if there was somebody there. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel let down or anything because there was nobody there. I actually smiled and I laughed and I thought, okay, God's Lord, good. I understand.
Yeah.
You're telling me that when I don't give you anything, guess what?
You don't need it.
you don't need it. You don't need it. And it's, see, I learned a long time ago, it's not my obligation to come up with something. It's my obligation to wait on the Lord. And whatever He gives me to share that. And if He doesn't give me anything, then guess what? I'm not supposed to share anything that day, you know.
I think that's an example of God is telling us. He's in the He's in the process of showing us what it is to be a person, whether it be a woman or man, who honors their word above their own name. Mm-hmm. See, the name, our name means nothing, but His name is in circumference of all of it. He dominates everything.
Well, the beauty of the whole thing is, if you and I are both going through something, and we say, okay, Lord, we're going to count, and we flip it open to the same scripture. Mm-hmm. Your circumstance is different than mine. And we take that scripture and we read it. We're both going to get an answer. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a different answer. It's going to be an answer for you, and it's going to be an answer for me. But it's still the same words. That's the beauty of the whole thing.
That's the beauty of knowing where His word is and where we are.
That's right.
Where you get in trouble, though, is if, because He gave you an answer, you say, this is the only answer. There's no other answer. You know, and somebody else gets a deeper truth answer. Well, that can't be right because God told me this. No.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That's where doctrines begin to rule the man, you know what I mean? All the doctrines out there are based on some truth somewhere. You know, they started off in a truth. And it's like the Israelites, when they went through the desert, you know, they camped and you know, they had the pillar of fire and they had the cloud by day. Well, what happened was is when they camped at that campsite, some of them just stayed right there, you know. And if the fire moved on and the cloud moved on and they didn't move on, then guess what? They were going to die in the wilderness. You know what I mean? That's what would happen to us, so to speak. And that's what denominations tend to do to a certain extent. It's this way. It can't be any different. And I'm staying right here because God revealed this to somebody that started this doctrine or this particular whatever it is. And, you know, rather than progressing with God in whatever situation, you know.
While you were all talking, I was thinking about in context of these physical things that people were bringing up before, that on the spectrum, first is the natural and then comes the spiritual. And so we have to realize that in the physical, so first comes the physical and then comes the spiritual, that when you're talking to people about physical things like that, mm-hmm. doctrines and things, it could be a truth, but there's a deeper truth and a higher truth, and you know,
right. And
when you get to where you can see from the spiritual, then you can condescend to the physical, you know, and answer those questions from a spiritual point of view.
I think the word says, if I quote it right, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Now, I believe that's exactly how God deals with things. I think that he's wanting your soul to prosper. And how does it prosper? By in His presence. That's how it prospers. That's how we all prosper. It's in His presence. But I kind of add to that because I think it's such a word of hope and a positive word, and I demand this body get in line with that soul, because that's what he says. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. But we're taking a more approach to where that's exactly what he wants us to do. And as you were saying a while ago, the same word given two different people and received by two different people, the whole thing is God has given the word to set us at liberty. He knows exactly where everyone's at. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing takes him by surprise. I mean, whether it be your neighbor or your car or whatever. I told Oscar this. It's never a good time to have a flat unless you're at home. That's the perfect time. But that's not normally when we look at the car when we should, but I mean, that's not normally what happens.
It's just like your printer never runs out of ink unless you're trying to print something.
Well, that's right. Well, because you don't look until then. I mean, it's like expecting something in the mail and not getting what you expected. And matter of fact, it's kind of going like that on you, 180, I think that's right, 180. And you're going, oh, because, you know, you didn't expect it. You weren't looking for it. But the things we normally don't look for usually find us out.
Right before we close, this thing is still bugging me. 1 Corinthians 8:6, and when I read it in King James, and with the Strong's, it's amazing to me. It's still just grabbing me. And I know I'm going to have to chew on it for a while. But to us, there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things. Now, that of means out of. That Father out of whom are all things. All things come out of, came, have come, out of God. Mm-hmm. And we in Him and one Lord Jesus Christ. Now this one says, by whom. Remember I was talking about that before, about the, in this other, and I looked it up in here. By whom? By, and that of means by way of. By Him. By way of Him. Oh, I think that is so cool. I just can't stop thinking about it. Mm-hmm. By way of whom are all things, and we are by Him. By way of Him. That just amazes me. All things have come out of God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ, by whom, by way of Him, we all come back to God. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. It's just there. So I thought I'd spit it out one more time. Let's close in prayer. Mike, would you?
Sure. Lord, thank you for another opportunity, Father, to sit and just talk about you.
He's the way.
Talk about you. Because, Lord, that's what we need more than anything, you. And, Father, just thank you for what we've heard today. Mm-hmm. Father, bless the service. Mm-hmm. And we give you all the praise. Amen.
Amen. Amen.